You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura here. We got Megan Rock tweeting throughout the show, and she's going to be putting together our Browns Daily Wrap that will be posted later on clevelandbrowns.com. Be sure to check that out along with the rest of our content there. And also, the United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at UnitedWayCleveland.org. Some good stuff from the locker room today. You heard
they're fired up,
right? You heard from DeQuell Jackson on the topic of, hey, where this team is now and playing meaningful games. Well, Big Phil Taylor, nose tackle for the Browns, was asked about whether or not there's a time for a change in this city.
Because it's been a while, man. You know, everybody's talking about Cleveland this, Cleveland the mistake on the lake, all this other stuff, man. It's time for a change. You know, we're tired of losing around here. And we got the talent in here to go all the way to the top. We just got to get it done.
And it is time for a change in this city, and that's what everybody's talking about. I think that's why people are excited. They're enthusiastic. And one of the big questions, though, is are they ready for the moment? And Phil Taylor was asked if they are ready for this big game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
We were ready. You know, and we show people what we can do with the top-notch teams. And, you know, like with the Chiefs, you know, they're 9-0 right now. And, you know, wish we can have that game back, you know, at least the first half at least. And, you know, how we did them the second half. And we know what we can go out there and do. It's just we just got to go out there and get it together.
Good perspective from the big guy. And he's saying it right. That is exactly what this team needs to do is, I think, focus and feed off of what happened against Kansas City, what might have been from there, and take that with them into Cincinnati. Understand it's a full 60-minute focus. They did utilize that effectively at home against the Baltimore Ravens. It's got to be up to a greater level when they play the Bengals. 216-578-0850, the number to get aboard with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Again, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you. We go to Mike in Washington, D.C. Hello, Mike.
Hey, man, I've been watching the Browns since 1978, and I haven't missed a snap since 1999. And I watched Cincinnati and Baltimore yesterday, and with my Browns experience, I know what bad football teams look like. There's one in Cincinnati. There's one in Baltimore. I know what bad quarterbacks look like. There's one in Cincinnati. There's one in Baltimore. I'd be darned if I'm going to let anybody cheat us out of this opportunity of feeling like we feel right now. We are right in the mix of this thing, and I'm going to ride it. I don't care about the draft. I don't care about anything. We got a shot. Go Browns.
Thanks, Mike.
And I agree, and I think that's one of the things we talked about, that the Browns players, most importantly, I think the win over the Ravens was so important on a psychological level because they know now that they can beat anybody. And I know they lost to the Packers, and I know they lost to the Lions, but that was a different team at a different time with a different quarterback and a different feeling about it. Now they know that they can hang with the team that's undefeated. They beat them up in the second half. Then they beat the Baltimore Ravens for a full 60 minutes. They've already beaten the Bengals this year. They know they can beat these teams. That's the difference. They know that there is not a team in their division that they need to be afraid of, and there's not a team in their division they can't hang with, and that confidence is going to help carry over. I agree with you. And I think Marvin Lewis right now has made some bad decisions at the end of games. You got a guy in Mike Nugent who, by the way, has blasted in 50-yard field goals to win games. He did it for them in the last game that they won against the Lions. That was almost an overtime game. It was a last-second field goal. And the week before that, he kicked an overtime game winner. So he's done it. And twice in a row, they didn't let him kick a field goal. One time, they decided to punt it. One time, they decided to run it. And they failed in both cases and ended up losing both games. So I think there's a lot of crisis of confidence going on in Cincinnati. And the Browns are kind of have the momentum at the right time to try to capitalize on it.
The here and now is definitely the player's focus. It always will be. Administrators, even coaches to some degree, can think about the building blocks. We can talk about it here to kind of give you a big picture perspective of sort of what the organizational thought is. But the reality for you, Mike, as a fan, and especially, though, for the guys who play, is there is nothing on their agenda that references 2014 other than the hope that they're playing still playing in 2014 into January and beyond. That's really all they're conditioned to do. That is what they know they're paid to do and paid to be a part of. They're not paid to say, well, we'll show some incremental progress here, guys, because they've got this chart or their graph in the locker room, because they don't. What they have in the locker room are cubicles, and those cubicles are only available to them if they're contributing to success. And once they stop doing that, somebody else gets that cubicle. That's the cold, hard reality of playing in the NFL. Muhammad in Cleveland is with us now. Hey, Muhammad.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say, like, I've noticed that the beginning of the year, it was entirely about passing, and the NFL was breaking all these passing records, and it seemed like that's the way the NFL was going. But 9 games in, I've noticed a new trend, and I feel like some of the hottest teams are playing shutdown run defense, but also running the ball effectively, like the Panthers, the Seahawks, even the Jets, who have, you know, Geno Smith did not do that good last week, and yet they won running the ball. So I feel like the Browns can win, but where's the running game? So go ahead and talk about that, and thank you for taking my call again.
Sure, yeah. I think that there are kind of two models right now in the NFL. There's the one model where you have a dominant front on the defensive side of the ball, can control the line of scrimmage, and then you just allow that defense to wear your opponent down, and you score when you can score. That would be the Carolina Panthers model. That would be the model of the San Francisco 49ers right now, given their limitations on offense with all the injuries. That would also be the same model, I would say, of Seattle. Mm-hmm. But Russell Wilson is also throwing the ball great. He's thrown multiple passing scores in 4 games in 5 of his last 6. He's starting to throw the ball. The other good teams, New England, they're a throwing team ultimately. Indianapolis is a throwing football team ultimately. The Kansas City Chiefs have been more of a defense run team, but really a lot of circumstances gone in, I think, to the fact that they're 9-0. Denver's clearly a throwing football team. New Orleans is a throwing football team. Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, while they do have good running backs, they're all, generally speaking, going to win and ride and die on their quarterback. So there's a little bit, I think there are two kinds of teams in the NFL, and I think that, you know, the teams that control the line of scrimmage and win can be very effective in close games when they're winning. They may have trouble if they catch a hot team at the wrong time and fall behind.
The way I look at it, first of all, it's a function of the time of year. You need to run better this
yes.
time of year, so your running game comes to the forefront. I mean, that's by design. Teams will emphasize and try to move the ball on the ground more effectively now. They're always trying to be effective with their running game, but it will get greater emphasis now than it would at earlier times in the year. But I think it's true that even when you talk about Seattle, even when you talk about Carolina, Detroit to a great extent, you're talking about teams that would still probably set the run up with their ability to throw. I think in Seattle's case, though, their strongest portion of their offense is Marshawn Lynch in a running game. I think the big reason why Russell Wilson is having some success throwing the football, that's actually set up by the run. I think their run dominance forces teams defensively to do some things that have opened things up a little more for their passing game. And Russell Wilson has, you know, they've had issues with their offensive line, pass
yep.
protection. And Marshawn Lynch, to his credit, is having success maybe without the greatest offensive line opening things up for him. So he's in beast mode and opening a lot of stuff. So the caller, I think Muhammad makes a great point about noticing some of these trends. And it's true with the Panthers. They've won now 5 in a row, largely because they have a great defense. Their defensive line is legit, is solid, is dominant, is smothering. Luke Kuechly in that linebacking core playing very, very well. And I think they're feeding. Remember, football is not compartmentalized. Football is, you don't work in a vacuum. Whatever you do effectively on offense will feed what you do defensively and vice versa. That is the ideal of what you're trying to the ideal scenario of what you're building with a football team is that both parts sort of feed each other, complement each other. Complementary football, you heard Gerard Cherry use that term a ton ad nauseum, but that's what it means. It means that all phases kind of feed in together. That's happening with Carolina and a defense that feeds into a running game that I think also helps Cam Newton, who is not trying to carry the team on his arm, and I don't know that he can, frankly. And then you look at San Francisco, that has issues moving the ball through the air because of injuries and so forth in their passing game, but they they've got Frank Gore, and I think you're going to hear more from them. And by the way, I don't think the 49ers are going away. I mean, that was a tough loss for them, right? I still believe in them as a top NFC team. And one more thing, just the St. Louis Rams, the shocking game that they had against the Colts. But I'll tell you what, that wasn't because they were. I know Tavon Austin had an unbelievable day, the three touchdowns in his work after the catch. But that's not like they don't have a great quarterback there. They're just making some plays, right? That are, you know, you get the ball in the hands of a real fast guy in open space, and he's doing stuff. You don't live on that.
You don't live on that. Well, that's why the St. Louis Rams are not. You know, maybe they could end up making a run ultimately in the NFC as a potential wild card, but they still have a lot of work to go and a lot of teams to leapfrog. But it's, you know, defense is important. I think what it comes down to is more than running. If the Carolina Panthers had their same defense and they had Drew Brees on offense and the Saints offense, they would be just as dominant.
Drew Brees and those receivers.
Right.
So you're saying,
if you had a good defense can keep you in the game without a great offense.
No, but here's my point about that, Nathan. This is where I think it's a misnomer. You don't get to play that great defense when you have a passing game, when your offense relies so much on throwing it all over the lot, because you tend to wear your defense out. Your offense will score quickly, or it will go three and out.
Uh-huh.
And if that's your philosophical approach offensively, you build in to your thinking that your defense is going to struggle somewhat because you're not giving them any recovery time. So they do go hand in hand.
Sure.
I think Carolina has a stronger defense because they can run the ball. Now, the Browns are somewhat of an anomaly. They don't run the ball well. We know they're terrible in that area. They're playing some really good defense. They've played some good defense. And at times really good defense, but I think the way their offense has been built, it's not a ton of dynamic plays. It's just enough.
That's the difference.
And that's the difference. They're squeezing the max out of what they can offensively. They don't have anything close to resembling what the Saints do or the Broncos do offensively. But their defense can carry them somewhat. But I'll tell you this, and I worry about this. If they can't find a way to just get some level of credible running going in these remaining games, any hope of optimism that they could do something will go out the window, because they've got to at least have the ability to play a 4-minute offense, and they also have to have an ability to let that defense rest late in games.
And just look at the Baltimore-Cincinnati game as the perfect illustration of that in my mind, because in that game, the Baltimore Ravens were up 17-3 going into the fourth quarter, and they could not run to sustain drives. Ray Rice took 18 carries, and they had 30 yards rushing, and that's why the ball kept going back. They picked off Andy Dalton for the third time with less than 2 minutes to go in that game, and they had to give the ball back to Andy Dalton.
Yep.
That's where you need to be able to run. It's at the end of the game just to ice it when your defense has played so well and won the game for you.
Perfect. Yeah, you're right. All right, Gerard Cherry is going to join us next in his regular spot here on this show. It's Vic Carucci. It is Nathan Zagura. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and you're listening to us on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hesitate, take a picture.